When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, today we're joined by Glenn's Vodka Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for February, Stuart
Kendall. Go on, what a start.
He voted for Ange. Thought it might
No, we did vote for
Ange.
And
you've got your jacket on, which is brilliant.
I've not had this after about 3 weeks.
Neil, Ange, go on, mate.
This is what I'd be drinking. If I was a manager, this is what I would. This would be my clobber.
See, this is a thing, Slaney, because I've got a bee in my bonnet with this type of thing. This is my working gear, eh? I think you either wear your club suit or you wear your tracksuit. I'm not into all this standing in the mirror on a Saturday making sure I look the part
that.
And all the rest
I know,
of it.
But you're focusing on that in the mirror, aren't you? Because that's very well groomed.
I've said it before, I let my kids have a wee go at cutting my hair and all that, as you can probably see. So no, I'm not that.
I like that, by the way.
I'm literally 2 minutes in the morning kind of guy, get myself spruced up and get off to my work. Genuinely not.
Who's better at cutting hair, your kids or Jimmy Scott?
Jimmy Scott was good right enough. I never let him do mine because you don't know how that was going to end up. But I gave a few of the boys a couple of decent trims in the time that I played with him.
Aye, Galifaradine manager.
Aye,
he was a screwball, wasn't he, up at Ross County?
Aye, I'd say you had Jimmy Scott probably top of the three, and then Michael Gardine was probably just in that wee bracket below him. But together, the two of them were absolutely frightening.
I never played with Jimmy, but if he's above Midge, then he must be special.
That's the best way I can describe it. Aye, I think he probably would have went that extra yard for Midge. Aye.
You try a wee bit of the side, don't you?
Try what?
You try a wee bit of the side.
No. A black hoodie and tracky bottoms. It's not a fashion show, mate, is it?
What is it they call it now? Being Pep-ed. Pep was the first guy to date, and everybody thinks that they're going to kind of follow suit with their casual gear. No, it's just no matter.
Where do you stand on Puma Kings with dog shit over the bottom of them?
PKs aren't the great at the best of times, but when they've got dog shit at the bottom of them, Slaney, it's a definite no.
But my trousers are too big for me, so they flare early, tap them at the same tongues as well. Oh, a shocking coach.
Right, wait till you hear this. He's been rehearsing this first question in the mirror.
So in January, you're the head of the youth, is that?
What was that?
Is that how you rehearsed the question?
No, I'm just wanting to say this. Just, that was your role, wasn't it?
Lead development coach.
So
responsible for the 18s, the reserves, try to connect that with the first team, but also try and work down towards the academy as well and just make sure, because you know yourselves, you get that bit in the middle, and if you don't have a connection to the younger ones that are coming through, then the cycle breaks, doesn't it? So that was the role that Risley came in to do.
And that's in January. Now, in February, you're the manager of the month. How have you managed it?
To be honest, this is the serious part of it. I never at any point come in to try and be the manager of Motherwell.
Right.
I genuinely didn't, and it's important that I think that people understand that as well, because I'm big on the integrity factor. I'm big on the what was the job you came in to do, and I've been dead clear on that. I never come to be the manager, but you guys will know that if you get that opportunity and the situation's falls as it did here, I think probably in it as well was the fact that I had been a manager in the Premier League in Scotland, then maybe people put two and two together and think you must be alluding to that.
Again.
I wasn't. I genuinely wasn't. Again, I'd been out the game for 20 months other than a wee bit with the media work, and for me it was just really looking forward to getting back in with what kind of been my passion was developing players, working with younger players and trying to see if we can progress them through.
So see, with your previous role, how much of the first team did you get to see? Because I know you'd done the radio on Saturday, so did you not get to see the first team play on Saturday?
Virtually nothing, si. No, I didn't. Virtually nothing. One or two wee sessions here and there if we had some of the young boys involved out with that, there was an agreement with the football club that I was doing kind of open all mics, maybe bits of sports scene and that type of thing. So I wasn't working at the football club Saturday and Sunday, and again the club were great with that. They knew, and it was important, again I was transparent in that. I was saying that that's what I still wanted to do at the weekend, but also try and get on the pitch during the week. And it fell in with the kind of cycle of what happened with the development kids, the 18s, the reserve guys. So nah, that was fine. But obviously as the situation changes and you're asked to take the team, then your mind starts to go into something else, and you know that your working week looks different and all the rest of it.
Derek Ferguson loved him.
He
loves you on open all mics.
I thought, again, I spent a couple of a wee bit of time with him at games, and see all
these pissed in it.
I'm not going to say that. See all these guys. I love that different side of it. For management, coaching, you see a different angle. You definitely side of it, and especially working with guys like Derek, loads of boys. You know, Alan Preston, Willie Miller, all these types of guys that have got an absolute wealth of experience, and you take bits from them. No doubt about it. You take bits from them.
See when Hammy leaves. See at that point, is there a wee thought you said they might ask me now to be the sort of caretaker manager?
To be honest, again, Slane, I didn't really think about it because that Saturday was kind of tied up after.
Packy Bonner tied up, didn't Like you did it tonight. Sorry. No,
that Saturday, everything was a wee bit of a blur, I suppose, in that I didn't know what was happening in the situation of the club. I was asked to take the team before the club made a statement, and generally I was thinking about, I knew there was a game coming on the Wednesday, so I'm looking at a situation. You never say no, do you? But I think, I suppose, the obvious choice at the time would have been myself, maybe having experience in doing it before. But we're also really limited with the full-time football staff that we have at the football club. Even to now, we're probably one or two short of where we can be. Good getting Stevie Frail in, and Neil Alexander, goalie coach, Davy Clarkson's been helping us. But probably when you look at most of the clubs in the top flight, we're probably one or two members of staff short. So I think that maybe made it the easiest option for the club as well at the time.
But see, that when you come in sort of as a caretaker, was there talk of you being the actual manager?
No. The first that came was after the Hearts game. So obviously played Dundee United the Wednesday, and then we got to the Sunday. We got a really good result and performance against Hearts, and at that point the chairman had spoken to me, and I mean this again, I hadn't applied for the job, I hadn't even touched base about that I wanted to be the manager of Motherwell. I think that it was just really important that you focus on what you had to do, which was try and get as a result. Unfortunately we'd done that in the St Mirren game, which I think gave us a bit of confidence moving forward, but the first conversation, and I think some of the guys in the press actually picked up on it, was the chairman coming in, pulling me in the tunnel and asking if he could get a conversation, and that was the first time we had spoke about what might happen moving forward.
So just going back, so you said you got the phone call on the Saturday night?
Yeah.
And your next game's on the Tuesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
Can you talk me through your preparation? Do you go straight into the players' WhatsApp group? Do you organise training for the Sunday? Do you watch games back Saturday night? How did you prepare for that Saturday night to that game on the Wednesday?
I'm a planner, and I like the players to have a plan, and I like everybody, the staff, and everybody around about the football club to. I'm a wee bit... I've got a wee bit OCD that way that I like to make sure that everything's organised. I don't want it to be regimental so that it just becomes a wee bit monotonous, but I also like it to be right. You know what players are like, you've both done it. You want to know where you are and what you're doing. But to begin with, because I hadn't addressed the players, it was important for me to make sure all the staff had the plan in place for what the Monday, Tuesday was going to look like before we went into the game on the Wednesday. So I then look at it for a sense, as long as the staff have got that, as soon as the players come in the Monday, bang, we're in, we can deliver that to the players. I probably wanted to speak to one or two individuals. I'm a bit of a believer in what some people call a power group, if you like. So can you go to four or five players in your dressing room and say, listen, this is what's happening for the next 3 days, and that was literally what I said, this is what's happening for the next 3 days. Then you address the group, and again, I'm not giving away any secrets, I believe in non-negotiables. I'll speak about non-negotiables because you're managing a team just now. If you go in there and say it's going to be this way, and one or two or three or four start to think, well, do you know what, I think I'll maybe just go and steer down this direction, then it can't happen. It needs to be, if you're going to fall on your sword, it needs to be you. And I looked at that for three games, that this is what it's going to have to be for three games. And as times went on, we've started stretching that. And obviously when you're permanent manager, we're then saying, right, this is where it's going to go for a longer period of time. And I just sort of incremented that as we went along.
Could you tell us the non-negotiables? Are they private?
No, but again, not a lot of things that reinvent the wheel. I'm big on that, but the message has been simple. I think that there's maybe five or six fundamental fundamentals that come into absolutely everything about how you come into the football club, how you behave in a dressing room, how you handle yourself with staff around about the club on the training pitch, and how you play the game. Think one of the biggest ones that I'll give you for me is reactions. I think as a player, however you react to bad news, good news, how you react to losing the ball, your team regaining the ball, whatever, you know what I mean? So you can actually look at so many different things. Your reaction always has to be positive. And for me, if you see that poor body language, you see that feeling sorry for yourself, thinking that everything's just about you and know the football club. So again, I would give you that one. I'll say reactions. How do you react to every situation that comes in football? Because we all know that it's tough, it's hard, it's no easy. But nor do I want to be a dictator, because I think I've maybe got that wee bit in me where I can sort of connect with people and you know how to have a conversation with one of the players in your dressing room, which is different for another. So just all those little bits, the personal touch, I think needs to be there. But as I say, I think the non-negotiables and the clear information has to be there to the players, however you want to play.
Did you have the same non-negotiables when you were at Ross County, or have they changed since your time at Ross County?
A lot of them the same. And again, I always used to look at it, no try to reinvent the wheel here again, like I keep saying, but day one, pre-season, here's the non-negotiables, lads. This is what it needs to be for us to be successful. If we can hit these marks and do these things really well, we stand a chance. If you don't want to do it, and I think I said that in the press after, I think it was the first day that I'd done the press in the lead up to the St Mirren game, if you don't want to do it, stick your hand up and let us know and we'll come to some sort of compromise where you're not going to be here. And I think that's the best way to be. I think you maybe speak to most people in the game. I don't want to give you that one. I'm a really honest guy, but I'm a really honest guy. I'll not think one thing and say another thing to you. I'll try and do it the best way possible, because you know what? See, if you don't want to be here and you don't want to do it, just let us know and we can move on. And I think that generally is the best way to move forward. And I've kind of thought that people maybe respect that, and some don't like it, but it's maybe for the best in the long run.
You're right at it today. Your questions have been outstanding. I'm going to top you with an even better question. See, looking at the Motherwell team before you came in, it looked like they're short of confidence. Was that a worry for you coming in that you need to, I mean, how am I going to pick these boys up, or how do you do it? Was that a worry for you?
Again, you kind of look at, see, the first thing I thought about is how am I going to shape up a team to play against St Mirren? How's that going to look? One of the first things that I had in my head was that I felt that we probably had to get to two strikers. Now again, we've been playing 3-5-2 in a couple of different variations.
Sorry, is that through watching video that you've came to that realisation?
Nah,
you said you never got to see much of the team.
Nah, I was probably just looking at the players, because again, you know what it's like, but we're all obsessed by the game in this country. You could tell you something about all the players, so I knew something about all the players that were in the group, but I probably just had the first thing in my head was that I needed to play a system that got to two strikers. I wasn't set that was a back three. That might have been a four, it might have been whatever way I wanted to shape it, but that was the first thing that I felt we had to get to, because I felt that we had to be that goal threat and make sure that we had a platform to play for. But the flip side as well, when you go the other way, is we need to stop conceding silly goals. So sometimes that's where you get to on that base. And I keep saying it as well, it's been 3-5-2 or variations of 3-5-2. That's not necessarily my go-to. That's not necessarily what I would normally do. But I think sometimes the players lead you to the solution.
Yeah,
I do. And I think that probably a wee bit that I go on about a lot, especially for clubs like Motherwell, you speak about Ross County having been there, I don't think it's one size fits all. I don't think you can always just sit there and say it's plan A only and that's how we're going to do it. And I know there's a lot of people in the game that have a different opinion. I think that's all right when you're Celtic and teams like Rangers maybe, and you dominate.
You can bring top players another time.
Top players, 70% of the ball, you can really stick to it, can't you? But if we're then dealing with 45, 50%, then those turnovers and those transitions are different. So I think we need to be able to react to moments in the game in different opposition. So that's again how I look at the game. And that's probably where I got to with that first team selection as well.
Talk about being on it. Wow. You're on fire here, keep it going, mate. So I would ask this as well, do you set targets when you first came in here? Was a target of we need to stay up, and has that changed now that you've maybe put three good results together?
Yeah, I think that was I keep going back to, all I wanted to do was try and get a result with the players on that Wednesday against St Mirren. You get that, you're asked to take the team on the Sunday, and then it's a case of, right, let's go and see if we can add, because I think we'd only won one game at home all season to that point. You win your second one on the Wednesday and you're saying, right, one comes quickly, let's go and see if we can try and hit that marker again. And when you do and you play against a good team like Hearts, then that allows you to start to think a wee bit further ahead. Obviously my own situation helps that as well, that you're now the manager. But then I think that looking too far beyond that. I think we really need to look for whatever is the next 10, 11 games that we've got left in this season. Not to be negative, but I think that we need to try and get this bit right before you can then really start. I'm doing bits in the background just now with a lot of the staff that are here in terms of thinking about what do you want to look like moving forward and what players might help that, you know, that type of recruitment stuff. So you're doing that quietly in the background, but can I really take my focus off of what needs to happen just now?
Yeah. See, when you left Ross County, you had a couple of... You took a couple of years out of the game, but did you still stay in the game and sort of maybe go and watch sessions or?
Aye, yes, Larry. I was at a game every single week, probably 3-4 sometimes, just taking in loads and loads of football.
So did you not want to? Sorry, did you not want to try to get back in too early? Did you want to use that time to sort of learn and get better?
Again, I'm not trying to make out that I'm something different for everybody else in football. I was offered a few jobs and I spoke to people about a few jobs, but again, I'm a huge believer in making sure it's right. I always talk about. You have seen them as well, guys that just want to be in football for the sake of being in football, to tell people and to act cool that, you know, I'm basically like Slaney. Exactly, like Slaney.
In a nutshell there, aye.
But you know what I mean, there are people that just want to say that I'm doing a job in football. I've been coaching for a long time. I had to retire at 30, so I'd spent an awful lot of time and a lot of hours on the pitch managing, coaching teams, bringing development squads through. You know, I said it before, winning a development league with the kids at Ross County, which was completely unheard of. Then you get the wee bit of success when you go into first team management. So I've always kind of believed in what I've been doing, and I've always thought that I can get to some form of success at the end of it. So a couple of jobs that maybe I was offered or opportunities that come up, I didn't genuinely believe that it was going to be the right fit for success for maybe a period of time. So again, when I come here and we spoke about the development role, I was looking at the academy, I was looking at the kids that they
have
here.
Through some great ones,
there's been
there?
Some excellent, yeah, kids, and there's some good ones there as well. There's been some poor ones along the way as well, you know, there's been some bad ones. But you know, I believed in it and I thought that there was a pathway. Obviously, Stevie Hamill and Brian Kerr were manager and assistant at the time, so that connection's there again into, yeah, with the academy, where you feel they're going to give these kids an opportunity. Then one or two did get an opportunity, which is great. But that was, I thought the fact that kids could come from my group and there wasn't going to be a kind of roadblock stopping them getting in the first team, then you believe in it, don't you? You then start to say, right, this might be something that works. So that was where that decision came. And then obviously with the job, yeah, it took a couple of days as well to agree something with the football club. It wasn't I didn't want to do the job, because I did right from the very start, but I think it was also important that I kind of sell my vision of what I think can come next as well. It's not just a case of take it because it's there and find out what happens after it. I think you need to really believe in what you're doing and how you're going to get there.
See, in terms of that, when you first took your job, at 33, how important do you think that was that you'd coached previously to that? Because that experience isn't a 33-year-old's experience in terms of the many years you've had on the pitch.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a good question. You're in flames today, Si. I think that time on the pitch is the most important thing. We always used to talk about it, myself and one of my best mates is Stevie Ferguson, who was a co-manager when we were put Ross County. He used to speak about it being room 101. So when you put a session out, and you've probably done this, and you put a session out and it's an absolute car crash and it doesn't work and balls are flying everywhere and all the rest of it, you need to go through those periods and learn. And he used to say, it's room 101, lads, you'll never see that passing, yeah, drill again. But I think when the players see how humble you are and that you're trying to do it for the right reason, they kind of forgive you, eh? Because they actually know you're a good coach and they know that you can get good information across. It's just something that maybe didn't work. So I think that period of 3 years and spending so much time on the pitch, I think it's pivotal for anybody to try and be a good coach. I really do. And I don't think you're there on day one.
Manager as well, or just coach?
I think a wee bit of both. Yeah. I think a wee bit of both. I think you can be a good coach and some people can get there very, very quickly. But I think in terms of trying to learn how to be a manager and try to build that idea up, I think it takes time. I think it takes, for me, I think that process, you're saying you're out the game for 2 years. When you think it, for the age of 30 to whatever I was, 37, when maybe I was sacked at Ross County, it was 7 years where I never had a day's break from being a coach or being a manager. I retired at 30. 2 weeks later, I was a coach with a development squad, and then you go through 7 years and never having a break at any point, being involved with development, being involved with academies, being involved with first team, being a co-manager, being a manager in your own right. So it's 7 years where basically it never stopped.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I needed a rest and a lie down, but I had to then probably reset a wee bit in my own head and give myself a little bit of time, because there wouldn't have been many people, if any, at my age at the time that had that much experience and that much time on the pitch working with players and working in that environment.
You're brilliant.
You really are. I mean, it was a good question you asked there, but you jump ahead. I wasn't ready to finish. Seeing your wee break you had out a couple of years, was there any managers that you spoke to, gave you advice, or really helped you?
Loads, aye. Loads. I've spoken to a lot. I've spoken to a lot of guys, you know, conversation with plenty of Premier League managers, some guys that you still speak to that are still managing the Premier League now. Several of them I've taken loads from, because again, I think I'm pretty humble. I'm not a guy that says I don't like your stat. Yeah. You always get nuggets for everybody. One of the best ones I had, and I've said it before and it's probably worth saying it again, the night I was sacked for Ross County, Celtic were due to play against Hearts the next day in the cup final, remember, during COVID, and it was the rearranged final. And I think it was about 10:45 at night. And I have said that, I've told this story a few times.
Stop saying that, just pretend it's the first time you're telling it to us, but it's exclusive.
But it was Neil Lennon had phoned us, and I think I must have had a good 40-45 minutes on the phone with him. He's preparing for a cup final the next day, and I was not just because it was Neil Lennon and he's had an unbelievable career in the game in this country. It was the wee nuggets and the bits of information, and you know, just almost, you've done a brilliant job and you should be proud of what you've done. I think we'd beat them two weeks before, and he's almost saying, look at your budget in comparison to mine, and you managed to beat us in a cup game at Parkhead the 2 weeks before. But I thought it was just a touch of absolute class, personally, to be able to step in and have that conversation, because we would all be going, I've got a Scottish Cup final to play tomorrow. You know, I've got a Cup final to play. I'm not really balling it, but this guy, I need to focus on that. And I think it's a mark of the man, but I also think it's that.
That's incredible.
You take the bits with you. But there's been plenty of other bits as well with loads of other managers. I think we're actually pretty fortunate just now in the Premiership in Scotland that there's a lot of different types of managers, isn't there? You know, there's guys that have got completely different ideas in the game, different personalities. And if you're saying you can't take anything from a lot of these guys, then again, I think you're kidding yourself on, because you definitely can. You definitely can.
See, in between your time off, did you work?
I did die. I'd obviously done a bit with the media. I'd done little bits in there. Do you know what?
Any proper grafting though?
Yeah, I did die. My dad, my old man's still a joiner.
I seen you at Paisley. With the hard hat on? That be right, no?
I don't think that was
me. That wasn't you, no. It must be somebody else.
Might have been Slaney. I was.
That had nothing to do with your work, though. You just like to walk about with a hat.
That was just my gear. My dad's a joiner, and you know, you're about the house. I've got four kids, and you don't always want to sit about the house when you've got four kids. And my old man had said, you know, come out, and why don't you come out?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Give us a bit of hand for short spells, wee periods that I was going out and doing that. But again, I think that's probably my makeup. I'm not a guy for sitting in the house, and I felt that I could go and help my dad and go and sort of dig in and help. He's in his mid-60s and he's still doing that job. It's tough and it's hard. But I felt for me that was probably a a wee bit of a reset, and I'm quite prepared. I always think my work ethic's probably my biggest strength, and I was prepared to go out and do a wee bit of graft with him and help him out. So I had done that. And
did you learn anything, Faye? That kind of line of work?
You'll probably tell that I'm horrendous. My missy still puts up shelves and all that in the house. She still does all the DIY and all that in the house. But it was just more important, one, to help him, but two, for me to get out the house and make sure, because it's a hard time, by the way, as well. I need to say that. See that
you need to bring money in, don't you, mate?
It wasn't even
after. All right, you're loaded in. Sorry,
it wasn't so much for that angle. It was literally to go out and make sure I could help him, but also to make sure that I was busy.
Yeah.
Because you keep speaking about the mind being the devil's playground, which it is when you're not working and you're not out doing things sort of during the week. So that was a big part of it.
You're obsessed with the co-manager.
Aye, so we were, even when it was a few years ago, we were really, how does that work?
That's must really be difficult.
That's what we were always thinking.
I think there's a wee co-manager thing in the offer with you two on it.
That's why we're fucked.
I think people will never understand it, and I'll say this again, at Ross County at the time, it worked, it fit. You know, I shared the office with Stevie Ferguson for a couple of years before. There was a friendship, but there was a definite understanding that our ideas and our vision in the game was very, very similar. We didn't have an assistant, so there was no assistant manager at the football club. It was co-manager, and that was it. We were both really comfortable at taking sessions. He's a brilliant coach, absolutely tremendous coach. He was actually coached me when I played. But we could both deliver in the park, we could both do video analysis, we could both hold a team meeting, we could both do a team talk, we could do a half-time bit, so I actually felt that it was kind of the yin to the yang. We sort of dovetailed really well, where he knew when to speak and maybe be the angry guy, and I could maybe come in and pat people in the back and pick folk up. And I think it's really important that you're both not wanting to be the same person and the same thing at the same time, because see if you do, it doesn't work, because the message and the ideas just clash all the time. So we felt it worked really, really well. Roy McGregor, the chairman, eventually wanted Stevie to go and become the chief executive, which he still is just now. I've had loads of people saying, how does it work? How can that possibly be the case? But I think, usually maybe know one or two of the boys in the dressing room, I think the majority of the boys would probably tell you that it did, yeah, and it dovetailed, but we probably both had the skill set where we could be the manager full on at one point, but you could also dip down and be the support as well in the other hand.
But so say, for example, one of these thought, like, we want to go for it today, or the other one said, no, we need to sit. Yeah. How do you come to a conclusion to get that?
So we used to have a wee thing where we spoke about sleeping on it all the time. So see, if it's your team selection, we would always name our team on a Friday. So on a Thursday, you're saying if you play one player and I'm saying you play the other player, by the time you come in, normally on the phone to ridiculous times at night anyway, but you would have to make that firm case to say that you think that that's the right call for the specific reason. And we literally would challenge each other as well. We'd fall out on it as well and say, you know, you'd prefer another player. And that's kind of where it went. And see, when you were really strong in that mindset to say, I think it's this guy to do this role, generally the other one, if they were maybe not quite as sure, you'd go, right, it's almost, I'll give you that one, that's that challenge, and I'll give you that one. But I had a couple of good examples in games as well. You speak about, who do we bring off and how do we change the shape? We had a couple that was, we both had one. I seem to remember mine was a boy, was Ian Vigers. I think he wanted to take him off in a game, and I'm saying, I genuinely believe he's going to do something. And he went, right, fine, if that's your gut feeling, that's how you think it's going to go. He scots one in the top corner and got as a result in the game after it. And then the flip side was, I think I wanted to take off Ross Stewart, who's now down at Sunderland. I wanted to take him off in a game. I thought he wasn't maybe doing so well. He's doing brilliant now. But in this one particular game, he's went, nah, I genuinely think he's going to get us something out of the game. And he did, and he scored. And you don't always get it right, you understand where I'm coming. It didn't take minutes to do it. It literally was a second. I've got a gut feeling that's where I want to go. So that was kind of those scenarios.
I was more talking about, so you said you're a big planner. So would you plan little things like who spoke first on that? That would just whatever came natural?
Generally not. I would normally lead on, like, say, the video analysis stuff and things like that. That was probably my bag at times. I think, like, speaking first, Stevie would always speak first, and that was something that we never spoke about. It was just, that was the way it fell. I would do the video analysis, maybe in the dressing room, he would be the one that spoke first. Right. I would normally speak second. And that was just how we fell into it. That was just how we decided it was going to go. But it was, I can genuinely say, there was never an awkward moment where I'm going, I wish he would shut up. And I don't think there was one with him either, because you just felt that times one of us wouldn't speak because the other one had said everything. You're not going to say it three times, are you? You just say it the one time and get the message delivered in the right way.
Then you get solo control. Did you enjoy that better?
It's hard, Slaney, because it was a tough period. It was during COVID. We think we were trying to get boys back for COVID. Boys weren't playing for a win bonus then at Ross County and all that sort of stuff.
Is that a big part of their wage?
I think that becomes a big motivation in modern football. There was no win bonus. We were having to make people redundant at the football club. There was a lot of changes. There was a lot of cuts running about. To answer your question, I loved it, and I loved being sole manager, and I really enjoyed, and I loved the co-manager side of it. But I think that the first period of being sole manager was through a really, really difficult period, and I know we're getting back into COVID, but we want to get away from all that side of things, but that was really challenging. You were making folk redundant, you were close to, you were tight with, players only playing for a win bonus, all the restrictions and everything that we all faced at the time, and it was a really, really difficult sort of 6 months.
Was there big differences, though, from the co to you being solo?
I think probably in terms of how we played and the delivery of sessions and all of that, it was very similar. Was very similar, aye.
Who did you bring in to help with your assistant?
So Richie Britton was my assistant, and Don Cowie, who's now Ross County assistant, had come in as first team coach. So that was the team, that was what we had. But these guys were already in the building, so they understood, so that transition was all right. But I think probably more in the circumstances rather than actually how you wanted to play your sessions and all that type of thing.
What about in terms of players that you managed up there? Who did you enjoy working with?
Loads of
Ross Stewart, you must be delighted to see how far he's gone.
Listen, that's the obvious one, isn't it? It's the easiest one when you see how his careers went, and I think I read quotes that he was being quoted being worth 6-7 million whatever, and teams that were prepared to pay a lot of money for him. But see, when he came up,
where did you sign him from, sorry?
St Mirren.
St Mirren, that's right, he was on loan at Albion Rovers.
I think if memory serves me right, I think it was about 20 grand we'd paid for him, and then obviously you sell him and have probably Ross County have got sell loans and all that sort of stuff now as well, so it's a brilliant piece of business when you look at it like that. But he was easy, came up, found his own flat, easiest guy in the world to deal with, trained well, handled his cell well, lived his life right. And then you could just gradually see him week upon week just becoming a better player constantly. He worked with good guys up there as well, some good players that helped him out, some good strikers and all that helped his game as well. My agent, the person that looks after me, is actually Ross's agent as well. So I'm always trying to find out about him, and I think he's just a lad that's always going to grow and develop into the environment. He's went to Sunderland, and you can see he's went that next step up again. So delighted for him. But there was so many boys like Jamie Lindsay going down to Rotherham, young Josh Reid went down to Coventry. You know, there was loads of good players, and I'm proud of that bit as well, that there was player development and player soul, because I think that's part of Scottish football as well, isn't it?
Did you have Gardine? Did you manage Gardine?
Yeah, I did, yes. Aye, so he was my teammate, and I had a couple of years with him. Yeah, listen, Midge's.
Did you ever need to tell him at Camden?
We had a couple of fallouts, aye. We had a couple of fallouts, aye, which is probably I feel like we're more than anybody else. But do you know what? One thing I'll say is what I think can be a hard situation is when you've been a teammate and you've been as close to boys as you have been, it can then become really difficult and challenging to be their manager. Now, him and Ian Vigers were my mates and my teammates through some really good times, and you know, you've been to war together. And they were good, and they were respectful, and they tried to do everything the right way, even when it wasn't the right way with Mitch, because we know the character, and a brilliant lad. But it is hard. It is hard. It's really, really difficult sometimes. And I don't know if boys think that you're giving them favouritism and you're trying to speak to them in a different way. I never did. I never tried to do it that way. But you boys know, again, when you share a dressing room with somebody, you've kind of got that bond. It's a different situation for... Like say I speak about it here, I don't have a relationship I hadn't any relationship with the players, so it's quite easy to come in that blank canvas. Where it can be a wee bit more difficult, I think, if you've actually played with somebody and you've shared the dressing room.
So you never jobbed in your shoes as a manager?
No, definitely not mine, but there's been a couple of occasions that I've seen, aye, that's for sure.
Actually, by the way, I found out at the start of the season, when I came in to help Sayu, I found that I'd be becoming really pally with the players. But the problem was then when you then want to tell them something maybe about the game or what they can improve on, that's where I really, really struggled.
Slaney, I think that's exactly it. I think you become too friendly, and at some point you need to be the guy that's telling him he's not going to play or that he's not done something right and all the rest of it. I think you can have a relationship, but I still think there has to be a boundary. Aye, there has to be a boundary.
Because you stayed at some of the boys' houses, didn't you?
Aye, the man's houses and all that sometimes. How did you look back at your time at Ross County? And what did you learn for that?
As a whole, as a player, or just as a manager?
As a manager.
Just as a manager, I loved it. I think my first full season of management, as co-manager, we won 2 trophies, Challenge Cup and the Championship title, brilliant. Which was brilliant. Second year, you keep Ross County in the Premier League. which was hard again. It was difficult. That was in the lead up to COVID and all that. But I think that that was a major kind of milestone, being able to take them straight back up, but also keep them there. And then, like I said, that third season become a wee bit harder, maybe with the circumstances and things that were happening. But I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm glad I'd done it at the time that I'd done it. In terms of my family and where we stayed at the time and all that, it's a brilliant place to live. It's a way of life to be a coach, a manager or a player. I think it's a brilliant place to do that. But I also feel that this last kind of 20 months between me getting back into the game, I also think you take bits and you learn aspects that you would maybe tweak and change and do it different.
Can we ask what they are?
Again, I think probably not being, trying to be a little bit more flexible in your approach and how you want to manage. And I mean that again, Si, by not just getting fixed to it must be like this. Because again, when you're outside that top bracket club, I think we keep using the word hybrid and being able to adjust and play in a different way, then that's maybe one of the things that I've learned to swallow your pride a wee bit and come up with the best solution for the game rather than your this voice. Is how I need to play all the time. And I think that comes through time as well, because I think when I first started coaching, I was all about building the play for the back. I was all about you have to play through the thirds, open, expansive football, and then you change. Sometimes you change. It's not to say that you won't do that.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes to be in the job, you need to get the right result that allows you to sort of add the layers on and get there.
Right. And you also said about giving other people more responsibility in terms of your coaches.
Yep. Now, again, I probably am and a little bit of a control freak and the guy that wants to do everything. There's not enough time to do everything. You definitely have to delegate. And I think that I took so much responsibility up north. So you're asking maybe bits that have changed for me. There was no head of recruitment. I'd done with Stevie Ferguson, we'd done all the recruitment, speaking to the agents, signing all the players, relocating them, all that type of stuff, dealing with the contracts, all these aspects. It's a big, big job, as well as coaching and picking a team.
Yeah.
But then I think when you come to, like, say, Motherwell, a lot of these jobs and a lot of these tasks are taken care of, so it allows you a wee bit more focus on what matters.
Right, as a player, I don't think you know this, but he was a dirty bastard.
You told me that earlier, right?
Dirty bastard. But fuck with you.
Wouldn't you?
Was that your role in the team? Was it very much get it and give it?
Aye. I was a destroyer. I was a destroyer in the team. Yeah. I was the guy that would fight with me in Shadow and fight with... But every team had it then.
Yeah.
Every team had a player that done that job in the team. I was probably as fit as anybody on a park. I would be able to run box to box, but I was a decoy runner. You know that one? Don't give me a ball. I was just going to take somebody out of the way. But no, that was my role in team. And I think
if you were a manager, would you play yourself in this Motherwell team?
I think every team still needs a player like it, but I think they're totally different now. So I can't remember how many red cards I got in my career, 13, 14 red cards or something like that in my career, something ridiculous like that. I don't think the game is that anymore, but I still think you can do it in a similar type of way where you need guys that can get the ball back.
Part of the game,
they do.
Part of the game, of course it is. So he's a player. What manager had the biggest influence on you?
Yeah, Billy Stark. Spoke to him earlier on. Unbelievable coach.
Scotland, how good?
Phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. Just the way he used to think about the game and at the sessions and everything about it, I thought the guy was first class. I thought he was brilliant, and I still do to this day.
Yeah, he was Tommy Burns stuff. They were the same way. They were doing that free-flowing football, wingers in, full-backs high, when we were kids.
I remember growing up through that spell with that Celtic team, Tommy Burns, Billy Stark. The football they played at the time was phenomenal.
John Bomber Brown, your manager at Clyde, major captain, what was he like?
Brilliant again.
Great character.
I thought he was a great character. You knew where he stood with him.
Did you ever get a dressing down for him?
It was tough. I had one or two who liked me, to be fair. I do remember Willie McLaren. I don't know if you remember
Willie the winger.
Willie McLaren, what player he was.
Yeah, good player.
I don't know if you remember it, but I remember Willie McLaren literally getting pinned up on the hook in the dressing. Now people say, oh, he picked him up. No, he picked him up and he hooked him on Willie's leg dangling. But John Brown was good. I like him and still see him out at games and all that. Now he's still doing a bit of scouting now.
Because he played with Motherwell, didn't he, John Brown?
No. Dundee.
He was at Dundee. That's a bad one.
Oh, sorry about that. It's really bad. What was it like working under Derek Adams?
With a lot of success, Slaney. Brilliant period. Again, Scottish Cup final. Won the championship. Kind of a canter at the time. 40 games unbeaten. Fifth place finish with Ross County in the Premier League in our first year. The success was phenomenal. It genuinely was. And I spoke about this recently as well, that everybody was on the same money. So you know some of the boys that played in that team, Paul Lawson, Michael Gardine, yeah, all these
people. The same money.
Everybody earned the same money for a couple of years that I was there, and then we started getting foreign boys, and we all knew that we earned the same money.
Was that good or bad time?
We weren't in a lot of money, but see in terms of how you felt in the dressing room, if somebody's no pulling their weight, well, he's no on £1,000, £2,000 more than you. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, everybody was equal in the dressing room, and I thought that was a wee bit of a masterstroke. You never get away with it now, it'll never happen now, but that was the situation, that was the case.
See, when you're up there, how important is team spirit? Obviously, there's so many boys living away from home.
Frightening. I've been involved in two unbelievable dressing rooms. One was Queen's Park, which was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Had a lot of success there with that group, and then I didn't think you could top it, and then I went up with Ross County. But I think it's because you live together.
Yeah.
You know, you're almost like a family because your family live hundreds of miles away.
So how many is there in that clubhouse?
Up the road?
Yeah, Ross County. Is there, am I right in saying there was a clubhouse that five or six would stay in?
There was, aye, and I moved in with my family in the house opposite. I'll tell you, that was entertainment. It was like the revolving door, so it was boys just coming and going out of there.
No,
constantly.
I was thinking about birds coming and going.
Aye, that as well, aye, that was a part of it.
Oh, so you lived across the road for that?
Literally the house opposite, that's where I stayed originally when I went up with my family. And every so often, I think my missus would be looking out the window going, what's going on there? And I'm like, just come away from that window, close the blinds. There was a few good boys that stayed in it as well. And I think we Midge keep speaking about it. I think he stayed in there for a short spell, and Vigers and all these boys. But aye, it was...
Vigers is... It could be a bit wild as well, couldn't it?
That was my tag team partner in training. There was a fight every day in training, and that was...
Was there a...
Again, I'm, without a word of a lie, you're asking about Derek Adams and that team. There was a fight every day in training. Normally, Vigs was involved in it. A lot of days, I'd probably be in there somewhere as well. But there was nobody took offence to it. Yeah. See, when it finished, you went up for lunch and probably sat beside the guy and then just carried on with the rest of your day. See, now we take loads of offence by if somebody calls you or there's a bit of a scuffle or something like that, and people think about it for weeks. But I can honestly say the majority of days there was maybe no punches thrown every day, but I've seen some good ones up there. But
what's the best you've seen? Best fight you've seen, come on.
I've been involved in a couple myself. I think one of the best ones, one of the funniest ones I've ever seen was Ian Vigers and Stevie Watt. I don't know if you remember
Big
centre back, was at Chelsea and all that.
Right,
Big Stevie Watt. I tell you,
that's a mismatch, nah?
Well, you'd think, but the two of them have come together and brilliant. They've keeled over, they've collapsed on the ground. And at that, I was always trying to pull them apart. And I can't remember what way about it was. I think it might have been Vigs on top of Big Watty. And he's on top of him, and we're pulling him off, but he's got him by the balls, so as he's trying to pull him off, he's screaming and all the rest of it. That was comedy value, but they were good pals. But it was just that something happened in the session, and the two of them started going at it. So it was brilliant. It was good.
Because did you ever get the Gardine scissor tackle?
Nah, he wasn't brave enough to do that.
He's funny in that, mate. He's a nasty bastard.
His catchphrase to me every single day in training was, it's no rugby, mate, we're playing, it's football. That was his catchphrase all the time, because you couldn't get the ball from him. So
was there no story smashed Scott Leach, Midge, when Scott Leach was the manager and he joined in?
I wasn't there, but I heard that I think he spent the rest of the session chasing him round about Dingwall trying to get a hold of him.
See, as a manager, do you like characters in your dressing room?
Love it, Slaney. I think you need it. I think everybody says now that we need characters in dressing rooms, and then see when you get them, I think we're then scared of them.
Yeah.
I think you need a bit of professionalism and all the rest of it. Be switched on when the game comes. But one of my favourite aspects is that you're a personality in the dressing room. You need it. Uh-huh. You need it. That's where, when times are hard, what do you do? Do we sit there like it's a morgue, or do we actually go and try and enjoy ourselves? There has to be an element of that too.
Yeah, definitely. Last question, what your hopes for the season and beyond for Motherwell?
It's just important that the politically correct answer is that we stay in the league, but when we look at where we were three weeks ago, everybody had his cannon fodder and we were going down. So I think first and foremost we need to make sure we're in the Premiership, and then there you look at the club, the players, the people. I definitely think that there's something there to build on. Hopefully we can keep a run going that we're on just now, and then if we do that, who knows, we can start to move up and progress up this league. But it's been good so far, hopefully we can continue.
Sure can.
No, last ever meal, start our main dessert.
Oh, good.
Start our main dessert.
I like to see.
You stay coming now, mate. This is
interesting.
This will be grim.
No, I'm a foodie.
Oh, you're
I'm
right, foodie.
I'll go scallops to start.
That's mine.
There you go. Yeah. You two can sit the same
scallops
table.
And then, do you know what? I think I would go with a fillet steak or some description there after.
What sauce? You that peppercorn?
Aye.
Any sides?
Hey. don't know, they thought we dolphin wah potato or something like that on the side.
Yeah, understand broccoli.
Aye, I would have that. Aye,
caramelised carrots.
Nah, you're taking that too far.
I'd have garlic lobster on the side of that as well.
Would you? Hmm? Wee surf and turf.
Yeah, wee surf and turf.
Good, good.
I guess you used to go on for dinner.
Dessert? Nah, I'm not a sweet person.
What about a cheese board, is it?
Nah, I would eat my weight in the starter and the main course, and then I'd probably leave it at the back.
And then your last drink to wash it all down with?
Say Glen's Vodka.
Glen's Vodka, obviously, aye.
But see, but they've just said to you, you can play one last ever song as well when you're sitting there having your last meal. Which song of your choice?
That'd be something with Bruce Springsteen, Slaney.
Oh, like the boss.
Brilliant. A wee bit of the boss.
Amazing. Kettlewell, what a man.
Sure, Kettlewell.
Thanks very much. Cheers,
Slaney. Brilliant, mate. Top man.